Welcome in to the show. You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. That's right. Integrative holistic medicine family practitioner with Veritas Medical. Of course, you can always reach out to Veritas Medical at 771-1160. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. And, of course, along the way, if you have any questions, feel free. Give us a call at any time, 745-5800. Or you can text in your question to the show at 806-745-5800 along the way. And here he is, Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Wade. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Good. It's had a good weekend. Feel good. Taking your advice on, you know, all the things that you talk about, and that seems to work.
Well, you look good, so it must be working.
I can't complain. It looks good. I'm looking good. I'm feeling good. So that's what it's all about, right, is to feel better.
Right.
To be, yeah, you can look in the mirror. I get all that. That's part of it. But how do you really feel, right?
Yeah, well, to me, it's all about being able to function physically, emotionally, spiritually, so you can be all God created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
When we're too distracted by brain fog or fatigue or aches and pains or not sleeping good or emotions are up and down or whatever physical issue, then we're distracted and we can't focus on doing what we're supposed to be doing.
That's true.
So really, that's what why we're in the business.
Well, I'm more conscious now of what... You know, because food is your medicine. You talk about this all the time on the show, and I know that's not your subject matter today, but just to say that food is your medicine. And I consciously think about it now. Every time I sit down, if I'm out to eat or I'm going to get a quick snack at home, what am I putting in my body at this moment in time? Is it something that I'm going to be able to utilize from an energy production standpoint that's going to be good for me? Or is it just something that's just going to be junk that my body gets maybe a quick dopamine high off of, but not from a health standpoint is it going to help me one out? In fact, it could be a detriment to my health. I'm trying to start to look at food that way now, everywhere I go. And
that's
I
good.
Think that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad I'm rubbing off on you.
Well, it's what it's all about, right?
Well, it's true. I mean, once you get educated and you learn this kind of stuff, it's hard not to look at food that way.
Yeah.
I mean, where every bite that goes in your mouth, you're looking at it thinking, is this fuel for my body that's beneficial or is it not? I mean, is this going to nourish my cells or is it not? Once you start to really understand that's how your cells function, your cells make up tissues, your tissues make up organs, your mm-hmm. organs make up you. And so at the cellular level, that's where all disease starts. So what goes in your mouth is either feeding those cells beneficial nutrients or not.
Right.
And your body's pretty darn resilient. So you can go year after year after year of not feeding good fuel to it. And the body does remarkable things to take that Cheeto and Big Red and turn it into something that it can halfway utilize some of the stuff in that for fuel for your cells. But over the long haul, that's going to get you. I mean, the youth, you know, when you're in your teens and 20s, typically you can compensate for that poor diet because you're youthful and your body's full of energy just to take that food that's not nutritious and be able to utilize it to a degree. But there's consequences to that, and the consequence is the aging process is accelerated.
Well, not only that, but you establish poor eating habits early on.
Yeah.
And then as you become older and it becomes much more, like I'm always asking myself this question. I already know the answer to my question, but I tend to ask it. When we're youthful, we're young, I mean, it's almost like you get to eat anything you want. And if you exercised a little bit, you always remain thin. Yeah. I mean, you didn't really gain weight if you did any exercise whatsoever. But now I'm looking at it, and I was at a public pool yesterday and looking around and seeing young kids. The thing that shocked me the most was even young kids in their swimming suits who are looking like 40-year-old men.
Yeah.
Like I would look.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, when I was that kid's age, there's no way I would have, you know, kind of a bulging belly and,
right.
you know, kind of a this and that. And, you know, these are, you know, 12, 13-year-old kids that are overweight already. And I'm sitting there saying, what are they going to look like when they're my age if they don't take control of that situation right now.
Yeah.
And is it just based upon the American diet that's so trashy right now? Has it gotten worse, I guess?
Oh, it's definitely gotten worse, and that's the vast majority of the issue is the diet, no doubt about it. I mean, for sure there's more toxins in the world now that we're exposed to. I mean, these kids sleep in flame retardant pajamas from the day of life one, basically, because we've been mandated to put flame retardant and everything. So there's definitely a toxin issue. But the diet is by far and away the number one thing. And really, if you look back from the 1950s is when really things really started changing. More convenient food in a package kind of food. We started changing out our fats at that point from natural fats to man-made fats like margarine. We started just shifting the diet. But then in the 70s, kind of the mid-70s, there's another big change at that point. We started using a lot more chemical on the plants. The farmers are using more. The Roundup got introduced in the mid-70s and just started skyrocketing through the 80s and especially the 90s. But also high fructose corn syrup was introduced there. We really started to see some big shifts in putting more sugar into the food. All of these changes in our nutrient levels of our food and the chemicals on our food and taking out the good fats, adding the sugar, affects your microbiome. That's the bacteria in the gut. We've got trillions and trillions of bacteria in the gut, and we should have a wide, diverse population, 30,000 different species. But because of our diet that's full of antibiotics and full of chemicals and full of sugar, we've whittled that 30,000 different species of bacteria down to just a few hundred to maybe a few thousand if you're lucky. Well, my theory is these moms that are birthing kids today, I mean, really from the 70s on, you know, I was born in 74. So pretty much everyone my age and younger is the ones having kids. Well, these are people from the 1970s on that have been consuming the worst food that we've ever had in American history. From the 70s on is when the Roundup, the sugar, the antibiotics, I mean, all these really big changes were happening. So the gut flora of these mamas who are in their 40s now or in their 30s or in their 20s having all these babies, the gut flora is totally compromised because of the diet. So not only are we nutrient depleted, but we're probiotic flora depleted in the gut. And when you have a baby, the baby picks up their gut flora from mama. We inherit that flora from our mom. When we pass through the vaginal birth canal, we pick it up. And then when we breastfeed, we pick it up. So that's when you're not getting good, diverse gut flora, the effects of that on the body and on the physiology, on your biochemistry is enormous. So it's a combination of the gut flora is totally demolished, and then the nutrient levels are depleted, the toxins are up, and we're all full of sugar. I mean, sugar is such a drug. It's a fine white powder, processed fine white powder, just like that other fine white powder called cocaine, except the deal with sugar is it's more addictive than cocaine. It lights up the addiction center in your brain, the area of the brain that secretes dopamine. That's your pleasure hormone that says, ooh, that was good. Go give me some more.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're gambling or you're drinking alcohol or drugs or whatever, you're secreting this dopamine that says, that was good, give me more, and you get addicted. Well, sugar will cause you to release more dopamine than just about any other thing known on this planet. They did a study with mice where they fed these mice cocaine water, and then they shut that off and fed them sugar water. Then they shut that off, and they opened it up to either or. The mouse could choose sugar or cocaine. 48 out of the 50 mice went to the sugar water simply because it produces more of the dopamine when you consume it. So a food producer, their goal is to make you have you eat more, buy more of their food.
That's the whole point.
Eat more and buy more because they'll make money.
Because you get addicted to it.
There you go.
Addicted to their product.
Unfortunately, the food producers are like the rest of us in America. We're out to make a buck, which is fine, but at the detriment of our health. There's no thought for, you know, how nutritious is this food? Is it going to feed the cells of the person consuming it in a good way? that's not the goal. The goal is to get that food sold and then have you come back and buy more of it so they can sell more of it. It's just this vicious cycle to make money.
But what about the – is the sugar or they just – does it work in tandem? Sugar worse than the preservative side of things or and the dyes and all that? Or
it's hard to say when you – the cumulative effect of all the preservative dyes and different food additives. But right now, my opinion would be that sugar's worse.
It is.
Yeah.
And that could be corn syrups. That could be
– oh, yeah.
All that kind of
anything
stuff.
Anything
just cane sugar.
Right, right. Anything that – obviously says sugar, but they disguise that so much. You can Google code names for sugar, and there'll be like 30 or 40 different names pop up. Most of them will end in ose, O-S-E, like fructose, dextrose, maltose. Anything with O-S-E is probably a type of sugar. Most of the sugar now, it's either high fructose corn syrup or it comes from the beetroot plant, beet sugar, which is a GMO, so it's been sprayed with Roundup. So, and that's a whole nother discussion. But I think sugar's probably your number one culprit because it's so disruptive across the board. It shuts down your stomach acid production. It shuts down your thyroid conversion from T4 to T3. It kills your gut flora. It spikes your insulin, and insulin spike causes inflammation and a whole cascade of other things. So sugar's just a wide-ranging detrimental thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's probably the worst. The liver's good at grabbing toxins and getting rid of them. So from a preservative toxin standpoint, the liver's tough. It can take a big hit and keep on ticking. So I'd rather bring the sugar down first. Of course, try to not eat chemicals either. But I think the liver can save you for a little bit longer than what the sugar's effects will be. So I'm in no way condoning eating chemicals for food. I'm all about eating God food, not man food. But I'd say sugar's the worst thing. So when you combine all this together from the 70s on, all the change in our food supply, we have moms that do not have good gut flora, and they're birthing kids that do not have good gut flora. And the gut flora is a big reason kids are obese. I mean, there's certain bacteria you need in the gut to maintain a normal, healthy weight. And when you don't have those bacteria, you don't maintain a normal weight. And that's on top of, obviously, the kids are eating sugar. And when you eat sugar, it causes your pancreas to spit out insulin. Insulin's a hormone that tells you to store fat. It is the number one fat storage hormone. You will not make fat cells without insulin. The more insulin you are producing, the more fat cells you'll make. And again, sugar spikes insulin. So when we have people quit eating sugar, automatically their insulin levels drop, which is a good thing. And
that's what happened to me.
Automatically their fat storage signal goes away. We have people all the time come in to see us for XYZ disease, and we pull the sugar off of them, and they didn't come in necessarily to lose weight. Like, we had a lady after last Monday's show. I left here and saw my first patient last Monday, and she'd lost 25 pounds as she came in for psoriatic arthritis. We weren't addressing her weight. We addressed the root cause of the psoriatic arthritis and the root cause of inflammation. But part of that protocol was to decrease or eliminate sugar. So, obviously, she decreased her insulin level when she decreased her sugar, and she lost 25 pounds. And her joint pain's 90% better, too, by the way. Her fatigue is resolved, and she's just doing awesome across the board, which is what we see time after time after time. It was three patients in a row last Monday. Actually had two ladies with, one with lupus, one with psoriatic arthritis, and then one guy with just kind of 4 years of chronic IBS type symptoms. All of them were 90 to 100% improved after their first visit. And their first visit, what we did was change their diet. I mean, we gave them two supplements, a multivitamin mineral combo and some iodine, basically. And that's it. It was all diet, 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 and they improved that much. And when you see that over and over, that was just in one day. That was last Monday.
Yeah.
But you see that every day, day after day for 4 years, you get very, very, very convinced that food is our medicine and you cannot get better. Well, people do get better, some supplementing, but the diet's the absolute key. And on the converse of that, I mean, there's, you know, a small percentage of our patients do the diet hardcore and don't improve at all. And that's a big clue, too. That really points us in a different direction.
What usually happens when that occurs, though? What's going on, do you think?
Typically, it's one of two things. They've got a tremendous overload of a toxin. For example, toxic black mold. Then we'll go hunt around their home for toxic black mold or around their office. Could be a toxin from another bug, like Lyme's. Lyme's is a bacteria. Borrelia is the name of the bacteria, but we call it Lyme's disease. And the toxins that that bug secretes isn't really affected too much by diet. Mm. So we'll start looking for a toxin like that. Could be a chemical exposure from, you know, we have some guys from the oil field who have chemical exposure, or just heavy metals like the mercury from our amalgam filling. So a toxin, we'll hunt that. Or the second thing would be stress. When stress is through the roof, people are in fight or flight mode all the time. It doesn't matter what they eat. They can eat organic all day long. But if, and no sugar, no grain, perfect, pristine diet. And if they're in fight or flight mode all day because their job's a mess, or their marriage is a mess, or their family circumstances, whatever, finances, they don't get better. And we've talked about that before. When you're in fight or flight mode, your stress is through the roof, your stomach acid production gets cut off.
Well, what do you do in that, in those cases?
Well,
like if you're in fight or flight all the time, how do you reduce it?
Probably acutely. I mean, right away, what you would try to do is
Valium first thing.
Well, that could be. In certain cases, we throw the Valium at them. Seriously, we do. Rarely, but sometimes, yeah, you got to do that. But the next thing would be teach them some stress relief, stress reduction techniques, which there's many out there. Simple things. Go on a walk every 5 minutes out of every hour. You go sit and close your eyes and think of your happy place and do some deep breathing exercises, meditation, prayer. Multiple different things to drop the stress level in the moment. The problem with those, and those can be beneficial. That's kind of a lifeline you're throwing at them. But the problem is, as soon as you step back into your world, you step back from your meditating, you step back from your whatever technique you're using, you're going to be sucked right back into that world of stress. So long term is what I really focus on, is trying to show people or walk with them, talk to them, and figure out what is it that they're doing in their life, the decisions they're making in their life, why are they making them, what's their motivation, and usually they're making decisions based off some false beliefs they have about themselves, about their spouse, about their boss, about their environment, something. Mm-hmm. There's a false belief they have. It's driving their decisions and thought process, and it leads to this fight or flight. So that's a much
those
more...
Those things can cause, like, acute anxiety, acute depression.
Oh, yeah.
On
yeah.
and on and on.
Yeah, for sure.
You're talking about mental stuff now.
Yeah, and there's a cascade effect. I mean, just like going back to the stomach acid, you're in fight or flight, you shut down your stomach acid production 50%. Well, stomach acid is what breaks your proteins down into amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks for dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine, all the brain chemicals that keep your mood stabilized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a multifaceted reason as to why you may have these mood disturbances now. Not just simply you're totally stressed out, but even at the hormone and chemical level, you can't make your serotonin because your stomach acid's not there and your gut flora is shot. I mean, 80% of your serotonin's made in the gut, and if your gut and the gut flora, the gut bugs, the bacteria in your gut are a part of that assembly line in the production of serotonin. You've got to have the bacteria do a couple of chemical steps to make that serotonin. So it's all connected, and that's why it's kind of a holistic approach. You know, I never really knew what that word meant, but obviously what it means is the whole body. You got to look at the whole person, their whole life circumstances, everything. It's not just the diet. It's not just stress relief and exercise and drinking clean water. It's all of it together. You've got to look at your whole life, your whole body, your whole person, your whole family, your whole everything, because it all plays a part. And usually the answer is not just one thing. It's usually not just sugar. There's usually multiple things going on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You got to approach it that way. But to do that, it takes 1 to 2 hours to sit and talk and really dive deep into these cases with patients, which is why we only see 5 patients a day, my nurse practitioners and I. As opposed to conventional medicine where you have to see 40 a day, so you get about 7 minutes per patient. There's no way you can get into root causes. There's no way you can spend the time educating patients. There's just no way. So doctors have to treat symptoms. they have to write a prescription for Prozac or Lexapro or Zoloft to get the serotonin up, because they can't get into the gut flora and the stomach acid and where your serotonin normally is made and comes from. And why isn't your serotonin being made? There's no time for any of that. So you just get out your prescription pad, write a script for Zoloft and give it to them. The problem with all those drugs are called SSRIs, and the reason why they don't really work that well, the studies show it's a wash. It's about 50-50 chance it'll work at all, and over time, even on the patients where it does improve symptoms, that diminishes over time because of the way it works on the synapses. That drug naturally becomes, your body becomes resistant to it. So it's not that there's no place for pharmaceuticals. Throw people a lifeline, get them through a tight circumstance for a few days or a week or two or three, but long term these meds don't work. That's why we're all sick and getting sicker, and our country is the sickest country in the world, and we spend more money than anyone, but we get the worst outcomes. It's because pharmaceuticals are never the final answer, although that's all we're taught in school and that's all the doctors have time for. It's never a lack of a pharmaceutical that is the root cause of your problem. The biochemistry in your body does not need any pharmaceutical long term.
Text coming in says, several weeks ago on the show, Dr. Edwards talked about using mouthwash that kills your good bacteria. What brand does he recommend that won't do that?
Well, actually, I don't really like any mouthwashes because it's treating a symptom. It's treating the smoke, not the fire. People that will get their gut flora right and have the right diet typically don't have any bad breath, so you don't even need it. So that's my long-term answer, is you really won't need it. Now, in the meantime, while you're working on that,
certainly you want to brush your teeth every once in a while.
Yes, brushing the teeth is good, especially if you have deep crevices. Get that stuff out of there.
I like using Water Pick.
Water Picks are awesome.
I use that.
But you can use something as simple as peroxide and baking soda to brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. As far as a brand, I like Spry, S-P-R-Y, and they have a whole line. And they may have a mouthwash. I haven't looked. They have mints and chewing gum and toothpaste.
S-P-R-Y. As a toothpaste?
Right, correct.
Spry.
And the reason I like this one is because it uses xylitol as one of the ingredients. It's known to a lot of people as a sweetener. It's a sugar alcohol, so it doesn't get absorbed by your gut into the body, but it does provide a sweetness. So some people use it in different recipes. But it's used in these mouth products because it binds up the bad bacteria in the mouth. And when I say binds up, I mean these bacteria are attracted to the xylitol molecule and stick to it kind of like Velcro. So when you're using this toothpaste or mint or gum, and actually there was a study, xylitol gum, I think it was 5 pieces a day they had these kids chew, had an 80% reduction of cavities in these kiddos that chewed 8 pieces of xylitol gum a day. And again, Spry, and there may be others, but Spry is the primary one that I know about. So that's what I would try for the late, or whoever texted. Just look up Spry. They may have a mouthwash, but their mints and gum and toothpaste is good too.
Another text coming in saying that water with a few drops of peppermint is good for bad breath.
Yeah. Peppermint, essential oil, peppermint's really, really good for lots of things. We use it for digestive health. It's good antiparasitical too, but it's a good antispasmodic. It's good for just soothing any gut issue, which again, get to the root of the gut issue, you won't need it long term, but everybody every now and then gets a little tummy ache, and peppermint works well. But obviously it smells good too, and it makes for a good mouthwash.
But you said bad. Let me roll back here a minute. You said that bad breath is a sign of other things going on, probably
abnormal flora, imbalance of your flora.
Okay.
You've got bacteria that live all over you. In your mouth, there's a colony of hundreds of different species of bacteria.
Right.
Obviously, down in the colon, you've got thousands of and trillions. On the skin, we have normal flora on our skin, and when that gets out of balance, then we're more apt to have skin conditions. Acne is one of them, but there's others. And now we know there's actually a unique blend of bacteria and microbes that live in a cloud right around you, right around each of us. We have our own little cloud. It's not just the iPhone cloud.
No way.
There's a bacteria.
Come on, really?
You got it.
That is out there.
It's very interesting. But when you get an imbalance of any of these groups of flora, there's detrimental effects. One of the issues with mouth flora, when it's out of balance, is you'll see the bad breath.
Okay. So my cloud could be, how do I address a bad cloud, Dr.
You know,
Edwards?
That cloud thing is brand new information. You heard it first here.
Wow, I've never heard that one.
I don't know. I can make some guesses, but the research isn't out yet to say what really affects that. At least that I've seen, there's no research. But I can assume it's going to boil down to the same common denominator as everything else. Eat real food that God made for us to eat. Don't fill our life and our body with chemicals. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't even think about that, especially women, how much chemical they put on their body. Don't quote me on this. My memory's not good on this study, but it was something like 126 different chemicals. The average woman walks out of the house in the morning just having applied to her body. From her soap to her deodorant to her hairspray to her makeup to her toothpaste and lipsticks and all her perfume, all this stuff. Because each product has 7 or 8 or 10 different chemicals in them.
Yeah,
and if you do
right.
10 or 12 different products, you're up to that 126.
So they're getting more chemical bombardment than a man generally, unless he's in a type of job like I was spraying bugs.
Yeah.
Where I'm getting it all the time.
Yeah, men get it too. This study, I think, quoted something like 60 or 70 different chemicals, but the women were almost twice as much.
Because of all the skin
different
stuff
yeah,
and everything.
The personal care products. Yeah. And that doesn't even take into account for the mattress you just slept on that was full of flame retardant. For 8 hours, you laid in flame retardant. That doesn't account for the sheets that you washed with Tide or whatever detergent was on sale that week at the grocery store. And that's full of chemical. The off-gassing from the new shelves you just had put in, that was particle board, and that particle board's fused together with chemicals and formaldehyde. The paint you just painted your bedroom with, that off-gasses for many months. So, I mean, it's a conglomeration of things, and that's why it's, you know, studies have shown
that. We live in a chemical world.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just no way around it. The only way to combat it is to
have a healthy liver. Is number one. Mm-hmm. That liver's made to grab these toxins and detox you, and it will. But you've got to support that liver with all the nutrients it needs to function right. So that goes right back to the diet, goes right back to a healthy gut, not being in fight or flight mode, not being stressed. And then obviously when you can decrease your exposure, do it. When you can have clean air, get it. I mean, open your windows when you can. Have an air filter that's good. Buy an organic mattress next time. Maybe get some laundry detergent that is chemical-free. There are plenty of different options out there.
I've seen those,
And just like with the toothpaste, try to go with something more natural, baking soda and peroxide or whatever. There's lots of different options there. So start to be proactive and learn these things, just like the lady that texted in with the peppermint oil for mouthwash. There's lots of information out there. The essential oil crowd has really got a lot of good self-care products. There's lots of natural makeups out there you can choose. So when you can, you know, do the best. And you don't want to be overwhelmed. For those of you that are kind of new listeners and thinking, man, these guys are freaks. You can't even live in America. You can't eat. You can't live here. You can't sleep on your mattress. Don't get overwhelmed. Take it one thing at a time. I tell people all the time. 4 years ago, when I learned that sugar is basically the root cause of every disease, and I started bringing sugar out of my diet, it took me a whole month just to figure out breakfast. And I didn't even think about lunch and supper. So don't get overwhelmed. Pace yourself. But
it takes time.
But kind of like this old Chinese proverb I heard, when's the best time to plant a tree? Which was 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is today.
Right.
So, I mean, do what you can today, little by little, and in 5, 10, 20 years from now, you'll have a whole world of difference. And for you mamas and daddies with little kids, I mean, you could really be transformative in their life. Like Wade was saying, all these young kids at the swimming pool that are, I mean, part of that's a toxin issue.
I know.
Their body has to store these toxins in fat. 90% of these toxins are fat soluble. You got to store it in fat, and the body is triggered to make more fat to store more toxins. So, I mean, these parents with the young kids start making some of these changes now, and those kids will be just miles ahead of the standard American.
But if we're okay, but kind of back to what you were talking about with the women saying that their gut flora is lacking because of this mid-70s we changed our diet or our food process, changed in this country to the American, now we call the standard diet, which is horrible for gut flora. Then when you have a child and you said it passes it on to the child, is there a way to correct that with the child, or are they, or is it a genetic thing and they're constantly stuck there now? I mean, and does it in your view, is that what is leading all of these ADHD, autism, that kind of stuff? Because these kids just they're born already at a disadvantage because of what the mother had in her gut.
Yeah.
So two questions. Yeah.
That's a big part of it. First question: what can you do to correct that flora issue? It appears that it's very difficult to do that. It's difficult to make permanent changes in the flora very quickly. So taking probiotics is a good thing, primarily because they induce some anti-inflammatory effect. When you take probiotics in a pill, it decreases inflammation through the dendritic cells in the gut. But those bacteria in your probiotic don't actually colonize the gut. They don't change the population in your gut. It looks to be, and again, this is early, the research isn't definitive, but fermented foods, so sauerkraut, not the kind on the shelf that's been pasteurized. It's got to be in the refrigerator like Bubby's. Kombucha, kimchi, yogurt is a fermented food, but it'd be best to get a natural one or make it yourself where it's not pasteurized. So these fermented foods have trillions of bacteria.
Beer?
No. Oh. If you're... Good try. Good job. I was just waiting for that. I was waiting for that one.
It's fermented.
It is, but it's a different deal.
Okay. Well.
Focus, Wade. Focus.
I'm trying.
It's early Monday morning. You shouldn't be thinking about that.
I'm trying to do something where my wife can say, well, Dr. Edwards said this beer is pretty good.
Don't bring my name into that. But those fermented foods can, over time, change the microbiome. And then there's a product called Restore, Dr. Zach Bush. I think we've talked about this before, restoreforlife.com. Dr. Bush discovered this molecule. It's a communicating molecule. The bacteria produce it and use it to communicate back and forth to each other in the gut. And it appears that it causes diversity. It causes the bugs to mutate into different bugs that the gut's lacking.
Restore.
So restoreforlife.com. Yeah.
We have that supplement.
It's really good at healing leaky gut. It's good for a lot of things, but it does bring diversity. So fermented foods and Restore would probably be.
Plus probiotics.
You don't even really have to if you're doing fermented food and Restore.
Oh, you don't.
Because the probiotics aren't going to change your flora makeup. But we're talking 12 months, 24 months, maybe even longer to have a big impact and a permanent impact on your gut flora. But it's definitely worth doing. I mean, there's no doubt about it. For these babies that were C-section or even vaginal to a mama that didn't have good flora, for sure that'd be the number one priority that I would do as a parent would be fermented foods and Restore.
Okay, so Texas says that... that when I've taken Restore, but when I do sometimes it... I believe it is what causes me to have trouble sleeping.
Hmm.
Have you ever heard that one from Restore?
No, I haven't, but it can. Constipation is the number one thing, and the reason it does that is it closes all the tight junctions, so the body holds onto water a little more.
Okay.
But it could definitely cause a wide variety of things because it's closing every tight junction in the body. From the brain, the blood-brain barrier, to the gut, the tight junctions in the gut, every epithelial layer in the body. So it's causing...
It's building that wall.
Right, yeah.
Strong, so stuff can't punch through.
Right, exactly. Right? So there's a big impact on your physiology. So I would say in a situation like that, if it were my patient, I would pause for a few days, get back to your normal sleep cycle, then I would resume at a very small dose. We've had some people have to go down to drops of Restore, like 3 drops once a day, as opposed to a teaspoon 3 times a day, which is the normal recommended dose by Dr. Bush. So I would just go a lot lower dose and work up slowly.
Let your body get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've had a number of kind of odd, weird type side effect complaints. And Dr. Bush talks about this in his lectures. So it's just a matter of titrating much more slowly.
I see. So if you're using Restore and doing the fermented foods, you don't need to take an additional probiotic.
In my opinion, that's correct.
In your opinion, right? Yeah.
Correct.
Because okay. I'm on a probiotic now.
Yep.
And I don't take the betaine pepsin all the time. I think, like we were talking about, the fact that you're kind of the thought now, if you take it every day or with every meal, that may be too much, because then your body starts to say, oh, I don't have to make that anymore because you're going to give it to me.
Right.
And we don't want to get in that situation.
Yeah, that's that negative feedback loop. Now,
right.
If you're showing signs and symptoms of not enough hydrochloric acid production, then doing digestive bitters would be a good idea because it doesn't have the negative feedback loop.
Right.
And in regards to your question on the second part of that question, ADD, autism, all that, there's a tremendous amount of evidence that shows when there's gut inflammation, there's brain inflammation, and that's because zonulin, one of the reasons is zonulin. Zonulin's a chemical that's produced in response to gluten, the new gluten, not God's gluten, the ancient gluten. But the new gluten everyone's eating triggers the zonulin production. Zonulin opens up the tight junctions in the gut. We now know it opens up the tight junctions in your blood-brain barrier. So basically, when you have leaky gut, then you have leaky brain. The blood-brain barrier is a very special filtration system that God designed in the blood vessels that feed your brain, because the brain obviously is pretty important. We need to protect it. So it's a backup filtration system to prevent chemical exposure and even certain bugs from getting to your brain. Well, that whole system, that filtration system, is blown wide open when you have leaky gut. And leaky gut, for those of you that haven't heard us talk about that before, in your gut, in the intestines, the lining of your intestines, those cells should be basically glued together. I mean, they're tightly sealed together in a what's called a tight junction. So nothing can penetrate your gut wall. When you eat stuff, you swallow it, it goes through your stomach, your small intestine, your large intestine, out to the toilet. The only thing that could be absorbed into the body should be the vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, amino acids, all the building blocks that are in our food. So we break the food down into these small, tiny building blocks, and then you absorb those building blocks through very specific pathways in the cell. The cell grabs it and brings it in a very orderly way. So what happens with leaky gut is those cells that are stacked together in these tight junctions that kind of glue them together, those tight junctions are blown wide open. It's kind of like a brick wall. All the mortar in between the bricks is the tight junctions, and it's like you just destroy all your mortar. So now you have all these gaps, all these openings between the cells, and things are able to just cross right into the bloodstream, right into the body. The problem with that is 80% of your immune system resides right behind the wall of your gut. And basically your troops are lined up there just waiting to inspect every single thing that comes across your gut wall. And if it's something it recognizes, like amino acids, fatty acids, vitamins, minerals, no problem. Free pass, go on, enter into the body and do what you need to do. But if it's stuff the body does not recognize, then it triggers this huge inflammatory response. And that's kind of a simplistic, elementary view of it, but it's really what happens. The immune system just gets totally jacked up by these different food particles that are not fully digested. The body doesn't recognize, and that's all these food allergies and sensitivities we're seeing. All the chemicals that we already talked about in the food, the antibiotics in the food, the Roundup that's in the food, and just bug parts, bug excrement and bug parts that from our colon, from what lives in the gut wall. So leaky gut's very problematic because it leads to so much inflammation. And most autoimmune disease patients, whether that disease is labeled rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic arthritis or psoriasis or lupus or MS or type 1 diabetes or whatever, these are all autoimmune diseases where the immune system has gone berserk and it's attacking your own tissue. What the functional medicine doctors and the research shows is that just about every autoimmune patient, by definition, has leaky gut. That's where the immune system becomes deranged, is in the gut. When
wow.
The gut wall is open and leaky, and that immune system gets hyperactive and deranged, and it starts cross-reacting with different tissues in the body, or it just the control of that immune system is lost, and the hyperactive immune system goes after different tissues in the body, and we call it autoimmune disease. And depending on where that that war is occurring, we label it a different label. You know, MS would be when the immune system's attacking the nerves in the brain. Psoriasis is when the immune system's attacking the skin. So there's different locations, and we'll name it a different disease, and you'll go to a different specialist based on where the immune system is attacking, but you'll get the same basic answer from all the different specialists, and that is, well, all we can do is shut the immune system off. The immune system's attacking your own body, so we have to give you a drug to shut that off, to tell your immune system to stop. And so that's the treatment, and unfortunately, those drugs have come with a tremendous set of side effects, including death, as you can imagine, if you're shutting your immune system off. And unfortunately, those drugs, when you shut your immune system off, aren't truly getting to the root of the problem. The leaky gut's still there. The deranged immune system's still in the background, and it's trying to work its way around that drug, and eventually it will. That's why you have to take a higher and higher dose, or you have to add a second drug or a third drug. And like I just mentioned last Monday, the lady who came in with psoriatic arthritis, in 60 days she's 90% improved and off her drugs, and we see this over and over and over, and it's because we're addressing the gut, we're addressing the leaky gut, we're addressing the deranged immune system. We're getting to the root cause of the problem. Now, I'm not saying every single psoriatic arthritis patient will get better, but the vast majority that I've seen in the past 4 years sure do. Yeah. We're about to put a testimonial on our website from a gentleman from Childress. I think I mentioned him last week. He's same thing. He's symptom-free, totally symptom-free in his joints. He was on methotrexate, sulfasalazine, and Remicade. He's off all three of those.
Wow.
He's not on any medication. He's eating right. He's got his gut healed up and his joint pain's resolved. The funny thing is, he told me he had to go out of town for 9 weeks on business. For 9 weeks, he was eating at the local cafe in the little town he was working in. And what do you know? At the end of that 9 weeks, his psoriatic arthritis pains were coming back. So related to the diet. I mean, we see it over and over and over and over. Until you see it with your own eyes, patient after patient after patient, it's hard to believe, but I saw it with my own eyes early on, and I continue to see it every day, and so it just reinforces. But it all goes together. Like I said, it's not just the diet, because if you're stressed out, then your gut doesn't work and your flora gets compromised.
It's all in combination.
It's the toxins. It's the clean water. It's all of it. Nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace, the four pillars that we talk about all the time at Veritas, that's, to me, what it's all about.